Hey everybody, Michael and Abadesi are on a mini break this week, so we're going to give you a sneak peek into our Patreon exclusive. The stories are a bit older, but if you want an extra ish early, make sure you sub to our Patreon.
Yeah, so this is two twin stories. Yeah, this is about greed. So greed. We just found out just now Bernie Madoff died recently. He's 82 years old and he dies in jail. If you don't know who he was involved in the biggest Ponzi scheme in the history of capitalism, basically. So he took investors' money and he gave everybody these amazing returns. But these returns were all created from taking a new investor's money. He wasn't actually doing anything. And he ran that scheme pyramid. Almost 20 wow. years, 20, 30 years. And he only got flagged up because some other investors saw and they were like, how are you making this much money? You're making 20% a year, even in a down market? This makes no sense. He eventually got busted, went jail, and he's now dead. And yeah, that's the price of greed. Like, there was no need. He was already a rich person. Why are you doing that? The other twin story in a separate world completely. DJ Mustard, the producer extraordinaire, he recently had to fire his personal shopper. So his personal shopper was a young lady. She was on 70k a year, getting paid thousands of dollars a month, decent living, just to be a shopper, to be someone's personal shopper, basically.
That's a job. Okay,
that's a job. Yeah, she got greedy and spent 50,000 of his own money for herself, just so she could spend on the. That's what she could stunt on the gram. It really bees that way. And I'm like, listen, man, that's how you fumble the bag for real, where you're just like thinking so short term. I think that's what the link between the two stories are. Just short term thinking for your own personal benefit when it's not even in your own personal benefit in the long run. I don't know. It's mad.
And it's like what we talked about last week. Like, some people just don't have, like, just don't feel guilt. They don't feel like the world is divided into like people that are like purely self-oriented and then people who have slightly more empathy and altruism. But that's kind of it, you know? Yeah. And like, I think you're rationalizing it from the perspective of someone that can't relate to that mindset. But someone with that mindset, like, there are people listening who would be like, I'd try. You know? and that's it.
Yeah, you know what?
Because at the end of the day, I bet you she'll find another opportunity and find another hustle.
I don't know. She got put on blast on social media and she seems pretty apologetic.
Don't change her name. move abroad.
But yeah, for real. Yeah, just don't F yourself up for the gram. Stop trying to impress people. And yeah, like, you lost a decent job now because you were trying to, you know, look good for the gram. You know what I mean? It's come on. We've got to do better than that.
She still has 65,000 followers. She hasn't been disowned yet.
Listen, in this day and age, she might actually spin this into a career, like, as an influencer.
That's what I was thinking. I see her.
Do you remember Catch Me Outside Girl? Bad Baby, Catch Me Outside. She was on Dr. Phil and she was like, Catch Me Outside. She's this little white girl. She went crazy. This really, like, she was a bit of a hood girl. She goes on Dr. Phil and she basically steps to Dr. Phil and it's like, listen, man, catch me outside. Basically, you want to fight, basically.
No way.
She goes viral. She's a young kid. She's like 15. And it gets really perverse because now she's legally of age. She's starting an OnlyFans account. And I think there was like $1 million waiting for her as soon as she opened the account. So people are turning any kind of fame into millions. So I can't be bad at the hustle. So if this person is clever, she could spin it into something.
How's your OnlyFans doing?
Listen, we're struggling. You know what I mean? Link in the show notes. Come support. You know what I mean? So the other thing that I found interesting, general BTC Bitcoin thing, Peter Thiel came out, made quite an interesting statement. He doesn't come out and make statements unless he's kind of thought it through.
He's a bit trolly to me.
He is trolly, but, and I disagree with probably 99% of what he says, but I do consider him smart. Now, I read his book and I think he's a smart guy, but I think he just uses that intellect for the wrong causes. He came out and said he thinks that BTC Bitcoin probably is a Chinese financial weapon. And just to give a backstory. So obviously, without, you're the economist, but the US dollar is the reserve currency of the world, which means that if I'm Libya and you're Botswana and we're trying to do an international deal, we're going to use dollars because that's the currency that we all trust and it's backed by the biggest military in the world, as far as I understand, right? The US weaponizes the fact that they are the reserve currency by putting sanctions on countries. So if Iran is, you know, not doing what the US wants, they'll say, we're sanctioning you, we're freezing your ability to use dollars, whatever, whatever. So it's a very powerful tool. Now, obviously, China is coming up, the new kid on the block. Obviously, they're, you know, an ancient civilization, but in terms of now geopolitics, they've got a lot of strength now that they once didn't. Mm-hmm. And they hate the fact that that US has that. They want parity. They see themselves as, you know, we have the right to, you know, do what we want to do as well. So nobody wants to use the RMB, I think it's called, the Chinese currency. It's not, it hasn't got that kind of prestige. But what if there was a neutral currency that all countries in the world could trust because nobody owned it and it was on the mythical blockchain? Now, the other point of evidence is that most of the mining happens in China for BTC, and it's really bad for the environment, but that's where it goes down. I sometimes, when I think, oh, this is too conspiratorial, but I think there are people who work in governments whose whole job it is to think on this kind of 4D chess, 3D chess, right? So it is possible that as a happy accident, they realized that actually, because I think in the beginning, China wasn't that supportive of BTC. I think they were trying to clamp it down on it in their own country. But I think they realized that on the world stage, it is to their advantage. If there is a currency that basically makes the US dollar not as viable, you know, if there are alternatives to it for international trade. What say you? Like, do you have any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I was reading it. I subscribe to Bloomberg now because I'm trying to get into investing. I saw this piece. And so the first thing I want to say is, like, I have biases, and there are like certain like individuals in our space when like they say stuff, I'm just like, oh, here they go again.
I roll.
So I gotta be honest about that, because that's gonna hinge my reflection. But I think it is plausible and probable that this could be the case. But I don't want us to now start to be suspicious of crypto for that reason. Like, we should be suspicious of crypto because it's like pretty volatile as an asset class, and more like early uneducated investors are choosing to put their disposable income into this over far more reliable and stable assets. Like, I think that's like a much more important conversation for us to be having. Like, I have been in the crypto game-ish since like Product Hunt, but even still, I still don't have a freaking clue. Like, I have never actually mined a coin myself, and I'm still not sure, compared to other types of stocks and shares, how I actually like evaluate that long-term yield for this asset. Like, I just don't know. And I am starting to suspect that more and more people are actually closer to my end of the knowledge spectrum than they 100%. Pretend to be online. There are a lot of crypto heads that also don't know. And I think that's a far more important conversation to have. Look, this idea of like, oh, US versus China, China versus whoever, these games are as old as time. Like, who cares? What's the US doing to destabilize other global economies and maintain its position as, like, you know, the number one country and whatever? Like, I'm bored. I'm bored of the US-China conspiracies, honestly, personally. I'm just like, just get on with it. Just get on with like other things that are far more important. Like, we're still arguing about who's going to dominate this version of capitalism when this version of capitalism is like destroying like the fabrics of what it even is to be a human and have dignity. And I think that is a much more interesting conversation I want to have. All these billionaires talking about, oh God, American billionaires, we got to protect our economy. Otherwise, the Chinese billionaires are going to take over. Come on, like, evolve your brain. Like,
I do think it has a real world impact, because if you're an Iranian citizen and your country is under sanctions, or you're, you know, another country like a Libya, you're under sanctions, whatever, if there's an alternative currency, it does make a difference. So obviously from us in the West, it doesn't, our lives are kind of not really affected by any of this. Like, but if you are in a country that's sanctioned, it can have a massive impact. So, and also I think the next 20, 30 years, whoever is the kind of top dog in terms of nation state, it does trickle down slightly to the average citizen. I don't think it's completely just we can just divorce ourselves from it and say, oh, it doesn't make a difference, like, who cares what they do, kind of thing. Because I think, you know, look at the Iraq war, look at how many millions of people have died, like, you know, based off US militarism. And if there's another power to check them, and I'm not saying that I support either, but I'm saying if there's another power to check them, the balance of power looks different, the world looks different, and there's maybe less death, or maybe there's more death, who the hell knows? I don't know. And thinking about it, maybe on our day-to-day lives, isn't the most relevant thing, but it's good to keep an eye open, like, and think. And I personally find it fascinating, these kind of things. And maybe that's my bias. Like, I find geopolitics fascinating.
I think they are interesting. I do think it's really interesting. And, you know, one of the things that I would be thinking about is, like, okay, the most, I don't know, marginalized economies by wealth or something like that. How do they access currency? And yeah, you've been to the market, you've seen like literally stacks and stacks of paper, and you've seen people literally physically exchanging cash or exchanging foreign currency. What happens if Bitcoin or some other digital cryptocurrency replaces the dollar? You then need to have access to the internet and like access to like all of those things, and make sure that everyone that needs to access currency, exchange currency, etc., also has access to those things. So I feel like infrastructure around the world would have to change before that's a real like threat. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know.
But you'll see in it. I think the next 10 years is going to be mad fascinating. And my concern is that the US won't take this line down and it will get sticky, but I hope that's wrong. I hope that's wrong.
War on Coinbase.
War on Coinbase. everybody, watch out for your investments.
Taking it back to Elon for a second. So you actually brought this up. The fact that Tesla is no longer accepting Bitcoin because of the environmental impact of mining cryptocurrency.
Basically, yeah.
So surface level, this looks like a good thing, right? Like, oh my God, they care so much about the environment. They're like not accepting Bitcoin because people are mining too much. But I noticed this trend in extremely privileged people that once they've got their lot, once they've filled their tummies, no one else is allowed to do it anymore.
Yeah. Do you think that's
what it is? Talk to me about that.
I could talk about that.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm not sure.
Like, this... It happens yeah. sometimes. You know, it's kind of like, it was like when Melinda, like, I mean, this is how my brain makes the connection. So it doesn't mean that it's accurate or correct. Yeah. But like, there was a time where Melinda Gates was under fire because she was saying that African women are having too many children.
Yeah.
And she was like, African women need to have less kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, no one was telling white people to have less kids X hundred years ago when there was like the industrialist boom and da, 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 whatever, all those things that like helped their GDP grow. And now it's like people want to come and tell people how many kids to have. That's not cool. That's not okay. And now it's like a person who has profited off of the growth of cryptocurrency so hugely, not just him personally, but his company, all of the companies, all of his friends, all of his family. Now as consumer investors are participating more widely in this market, and there's a growing narrative that, you know, people who never could have been rich are now, you know, actually investing in crypto because they can get more from their money than if they just put it in a savings account because interest rates are flat because of, you know, economic recession and all this BS. Now really rich people are like, oh, crypto's not good for the environment, actually.
Yeah, I think
you see what I'm saying?
No, I agree. I think I don't believe that he was dumb enough to buy all that Bitcoin and not realize that Bitcoin was bad for the environment.
Exactly.
So that's where I'm like, I'm not sure. I mean, I think the sequence of events is essentially that they bought BTC through Tesla. And Tesla is meant to be the electric car revolution. It's meant to be positive for the environment, right? And then eventually, I think environmental groups wrote to them and said, listen, what the fuck are you doing? Basically, like most of the crypto Bitcoin mining, and I've got to specify Bitcoin mining because not all crypto is as energy intensive as BTC. There's other coins and blockchains that are not. So Bitcoin mining is mainly done in China and it's mainly used of coal. So I'm not sure if I would struggle to believe he wasn't aware of this beforehand. So that would be in favor of your position. Like it does strike me as a bit unbelievable to think that someone as smart as Elon could be that stupid. And where you're right is that he did buy BTC and they have sold BTC, a percentage of it, and made a huge profit.
I just don't like when people are using their profiles in the wrong ways like this. I was just like, oh, now you want to draw attention to the environmental impact of this so that all the other consumer investors who are getting into it are now going to have to start feeling guilty and feeling bad for getting rich. You had no qualms getting rich off Bitcoin for the exact same reasons a few years ago. Like it just feels like a way to limit opportunities for other people. And I don't know, it doesn't sit well with me.
Possibly.
One path we have not mentioned as well, it just came to me because of that BBC show Years and Years. And there was someone in that show, she was a teenager in a family and she told her parents she wanted to be trans.
Got you.
But really, she said she wanted to be transhuman, meaning she had an ultimate goal similar to, I guess, Ray Kurzweil.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The guy who wants to live forever, basically.
Yeah, quotation marks on live. But she said, I want to become non-human. I don't want to be human anymore because humans are mortal. I want to trans.
We don't know what that is. What does it mean, though? You want to become one with a computer?
I don't know. Become Siri. It's like a Black Mirror episode, isn't it? Like that one with Donald Gleeson, that Irish guy, where you don't know that one. Anyway,
The redhead guy.
The redhead guy. Yeah, exactly. He passes away, and then his wife makes him again for their kid so that their kid can visit him every birthday. Anywho, I guess what I'm trying to say is there could be more and more people that just would rather be an avatar than a human.
Yeah.
And that is another possibility of why avatars would be important. I mean, there are already people that like want to be cats instead of humans. There's that lady that's like spent millions and millions of plastic surgery to be a cat. Final thing I just wanted to say on avatars was really, 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 really interesting article by Lee Quinn all about the fashion items she has purchased for her avatar. So she has had custom-made outfits. It's a crypto startup, Voltage Goat, and you can meet them in their VR chat gathering space, and you can get your avatar some personalized stuff. I'm looking at a picture of her avatar right now, you know, really cute little crop top vibe, low cut jeans. Now there are crypto collectibles being sold. Okay. So a lot of these fashion items are effectively like taking the form of a token. RTFKT Studio made $3.1 million in 7 minutes by selling crypto collectible sneakers.
Yeah, I'm in the wrong business. I'm in the wrong business right now.
The thing I wanted to say
is that
people have been known to drop upwards of $10,000 on virtual shoes alone.
Yeah, you know,
I'm just
what?
Just gonna leave it at that.
Leave it at that. But think about it though. If you've got, if you have like, I don't know if people's avatars are necessarily like on the blockchain, but let's say there is like, you can put like your personal, like Abadesi's Morpheus avatars on the blockchain, and there's a one of a kind sneaker that's also on the blockchain, like an NFT, and you could acquire that. I think that's going to be quite a big business. I can see people doing that. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the blockchain basically, the blockchain makes everything, like with these NFTs, it produces scarcity. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, and human beings, we love scarce shit. Look at the queues outside for Supreme trainers and Supreme like, do you know what I'm saying? Oh yeah, I can just see the future. My avatar's got these trainers and my avatar's got this hat. It's a one-off, like, you know what I'm saying? It's the 001 token. You can't get that. Oh, man. The future is going to be a lot stranger than anyone can predict. And I promise you that. Like, I'm starting to feel like my parents when, like, I try to explain to them certain things and they just don't get it because it's so far removed from how they grew up. I'm starting to see ahead. I'm like, yo, I'm going to be that guy. And it happens to us all.
That guy.
Yeah. Anyways, interesting time.